This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, we come to the next section of our series of lectures on the Aqeedah, which is Iman in Destiny or the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The belief in destiny consists of four things. Number one, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything which has happened and will happen. Because for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there is no past and present. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that has happened, and Allah knows everything which will happen. That's number one. Number two, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written everything. Number three, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will and his power is being continuously implemented. It didn't happen once and stopped. It is continuously being implemented. And number four, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all things and all conditions. خَالِقُ كُلِّ أَشْيَاءَ وَالْأَحْوَالِ. He is the creator of all things and all conditions. Now the fundamental part of this is that Allah knows everything, but Allah does not compel or force anyone to do anything. The importance of or the difference of Islamic belief in Qadr is that we do not believe in the two extremes. We do not believe in absolute control over everything, that we have absolute control over everything, and we do not believe that we are completely helpless. Right? Both of these are unrealistic, and both of these are unreal, and both of these are false. That if somebody believes that they control everything, that everything is in their control, all happiness, sadness, success, failure, is totally dependent only on what I do as my effort, if I believe that, that belief is false. Similarly, if I believe that I have nothing is in my control, that everything is fate and what is to happen will happen, that kind of fatalistic belief that none of my actions have any effect and none of my actions has any value, this belief is also false. Islamic belief in Qadr is in the middle, which is the belief that we have limited choice. We have choice over certain things, and when we make those choices, certain other things happen as a result of that choice, which are part of that choice. The things that come out of the choice are not something that we created or that they are dependent on our effort. Those are things which come with that choice. So that comes with that comes in the package, right? Now, let me try to explain that in the easiest possible way. Imagine that you are driving and you come to a fork in the road, right? There is a dividing in the two roads. If you take the road on the right, if you take the right fork, that will take you out of the city into the countryside. If you take the left fork, it will take you back into the city center. So now, when you are at this fork, you have choice. Nobody compels you. Nobody can compel you. Nobody can force you to do this or that. You're free either to take the right fork or to take the left fork. But once you take the right fork, and then you say, well, how is it that I am in all these fields and forests and so on, and where are the skyscrapers and where is the city center? It's not there. Because the right fork takes you out of the city into the countryside. So whatever is in the countryside is not in your control. Your choice, which was in your control, was, do you want to take the right fork or the left fork? Right? Please understand, this is very simple to understand, but you must understand this. So we have the responsibility of making the choice. What comes after the choice is part of that choice. So if I take a right fork, if I take the right fork on this road, then it will take me into the countryside. If I take the left fork, it brings me into the city center, into the skyscrapers, into the malls and so on and so forth, office buildings. And if I'm driving through that and I say, how come there are no fields here and there's no forests and so on, it is not there because this left fork took me into the city center. And this is our Islamic belief in Qadr, in fate, in destiny, that we have limited choice of whether we want to take which fork in the road, figuratively speaking. Let me give you a few more examples which shows how this is a very natural and very a logical way of thinking of life. Say for example, I have diabetes, for example, right? Now, I find this fabulous triple chocolate sundae ice cream, somebody presents it to me, which has a million calories in it, right? It is full of sugar, it is tastes absolutely fabulous, and it is sitting there in front of me. Now, what is the choice I have? The choice I have is, do I want to eat it or I don't want to eat it? And what guides or what should guide my choice, what should guide my choice is my knowledge. What is my knowledge? My knowledge is about myself, that I have diabetes, and my knowledge is what eating a lot of sugar will do to somebody who has diabetes. Now, I don't have diabetes. For those of you who are listening to this thing, feel free to offer me sweets. But my point is, I'm giving you an example. So, supposing, therefore, if my knowledge is in two, one is, what is the effect of somebody who has diabetes, what is the effect of eating a lot of sugar on that person? And secondly, the knowledge that I do have diabetes, right? Now, with this knowledge, what do I do? What should I do? I should say, thank you very much, very kind of you. Inshallah, I will eat this in Jannah. I don't want to eat this right now and go to Jannah, so let me, you can keep this, right? This is what I should do. But supposing I don't do that, supposing I give in to my own desire that I'm going to eat this, and even if this is the, this is like somebody said, what were the people who refused dessert on the Titanic, what were they thinking when the Titanic sank? So if I have that mindset and I say, well, it doesn't matter if I die or not, I'm going to eat this chocolate sundae, then probably I will die. So now when I make this choice of eating, what is my choice? My choice is, do I want to eat it or I don't want to eat it? But once I eat it, then do I have the choice to say that I'm going to eat this, but it will not harm me? No, I don't have. It will do whatever is written for me, and it will do whatever it is supposed to do. My choice was, should I have eaten it or not eaten it, right? Now take this and apply it anywhere in life, to our relationships, to our efforts in life, whatever. We are at every point in life, every decision point in life, we are standing at a fork. We make a choice, and what comes with that choice comes with that choice. Now, this is where knowledge is so important. Because, if I don't have knowledge of diabetes, or I don't even know if I have diabetes or not, I'm still choosing whether to eat the chocolate sundae or not, but my choice is purely based on my desire. I love to eat it, I eat it, and then I fall dead, or I fall into a diabetic coma or something, and I have to be hospitalized, I might die or might not die. Now, all of this is happening because I ate the thing, and then if I don't die, people wake me up, didn't you know you had diabetes? No, I didn't. I did not know I had diabetes. I just discovered that, right? Or people discovered it for me. So the benefit of knowledge, this is also why it is so important for us to study this deen, this beautiful deen of ours, so we know what are the consequences of actions. So now again, we come back to the choice. We have a limited choice. We believe in Qadr, which is limited choice. The limited choice is whether to do something or not to do something, which option to choose when I'm faced with two options, which is the better option, which is the worse option, that comes from knowledge. And therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us this kitab, he sent us this Quran al-Kareem, His book, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam to teach us and to give us this knowledge, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the knowledge of the consequences of choices. So Islamic belief on Qadr is, we are free to choose, but every choice has a consequence. Now you can see how beautifully logical and sensible this belief is, and how in keeping with nature, with our own experience in life, this belief is, right? Every single thing, you take any matter of choice, any matter where we have to choose between one or the other option, and you will find the same thing, which is that I have the freedom to choose, but what comes with the choice comes with the choice. That is part of the package. If I do not want those consequences, then I have the option not to make the choice. But if I make the choice, then I cannot complain about the consequences, because that is the price of the choice. We are free to choose, but every choice has a price tag. So I want you to please understand this. And that is why we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for us that which is best, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu also gave us the knowledge to choose that which is the best. And despite this, if we do not choose the best, then it is our fault. For example, one choice we have is whether we want to pray or not. I'm a Muslim, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. I have a choice whether I want to pray, I want to do salah or not. I have a choice whether I want to do this salah in jama'ah in the mosque or not. Now what is the knowledge telling me? My knowledge is telling me that if I choose not to pray, consciously I say I will not pray, then I have exited Islam, I have left Islam, and if I die in that state, then I will go into the hellfire. If I do pray, but I make the choice that I will pray on my own, I will not go to the masjid, I will not pray by jama'ah, even though I could do that, then my prayer is still valid, but at the same time, I am losing hugely in terms of the reward of that prayer. If I had gone to the masjid, I would have gotten 27 times the reward of praying alone. Now, you see the issue of choices. Now, obviously, you will say, who is insane enough that after being a Muslim, he or she says, I will not pray? Well, there are people like this. May Allah protect us and keep us away from such people and not make us people of that kind. Second thing is, you say, well, despite being able to go to the masjid, despite that being convenient, despite the fact that the masjid is near my house or whatever, I still choose not to go to the masjid. Well, you are making a choice, right? You're making a choice. And on the day of judgment, where one single good deed is the difference between Jannah and Jahannam, we will understand the value of going to the masjid or not going to the masjid. Right? So this is something to keep in mind. Now, part of the belief in Qadr, we believe in the Lawh wal Qalam, the tablet and the pen. The actual nature, what is the tablet, what is the pen, we don't know this. And as I said right in the beginning, these are not questions that we ask, because these are not questions that can be answered by anyone today. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to know specifically what is the lawh, what is the tablet, what is the qalam, what is the pen, the actual nature of it and so on, Allah would have told us. If that was so important for us to know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have told us. Allah did not tell us. Allah simply named the lawh and the qalam. So what is our belief? Do we believe that there is a pen? Do we believe that there is a tablet? Yes, we believe it. And what is the nature of that? We don't know, and we do not ask, because nobody can answer that. It's not a question of asking, is not a sin, but there's no sense in asking something which cannot be answered. The problem with asking questions which cannot be answered is that people sometimes feel compelled to now start guessing and start philosophizing, and they start talking about things about which they have no knowledge, and this is one of the most dangerous and worst things that one can do with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his promises and his attributes and things that he created and kept in al-ghayb, in the unperceivable, that is something we do not do. We do not speculate, we do not philosophize, we do not theorize. We believe as much as we have been informed. We also believe that all that is to happen has been written by the qalam in Allahul Mahfuz, in the protected tablet, that Allah, whatever has to happen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written it for us. We believe this and we believe in the truth of that. We also believe that if all of creation came together to try to make something happen which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not written, they will fail. And if they all came together to stop something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written, they would fail. And that is why Rasulullah said, whatever happened to you was going to happen to you, and whatever did not happen to you was not going to happen to you. And all of creation together could not have made it happen or could not have stopped it. And he said, therefore, if only is the door of shaitan. Now you will see this in many cases, especially where there are calamities, where there are difficulties, an accident happens, something happens, and people say things like, oh, you know, this is the thing, I mean, this person was driving a cheap car. If they had been driving a Mercedes, this would not have happened. If they hadn't been wearing a seatbelt, it wouldn't have happened. If they had been wearing a mask and if they had washed their hands, they wouldn't have got COVID. Now, I am not against any of the safety features. I strongly recommend you wear seat belts. I always do. I strongly recommend that. Of course, now, alhamdulillah, looks like the danger is past. But when there was danger, yes, I strongly recommended wearing masks and social distancing and washing hands and so on and so forth. But never with the belief that this is what will save us from COVID or from accidents or whatever. No. This is something we do because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to take precautions where precautions are necessary from the angle of the asbab, from the angle of the means of something. So we have been asked and we have been permitted to take recourse to the asbab, to the means, in order to have a good result of whatever we are doing. But the means cannot insulate us from the musabbibul asbab. The asbab are not more powerful than the musabbibul asbab, right? The creator of the means. The creator of the means is superior to the means, whatever those means are. So we don't, for example, sit and say, if Allah wants to feed me, Allah will feed me because He is Ar-Razzaq Zul Quwwatil Mateen. Of course, Allah can feed me, Allah can feed you, and only Allah feeds you and me, right? Nobody else. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to make the effort to earn our risk and do it in a halal way. Now, we go to the other extreme where we make the effort to earn our risk as if there is no Allah. So we go into haram means and we say, oh, but you know, if I don't work, how will I eat? This is where the belief in qadar comes, where what Allah has written for me will come to me. And Allah only told me the choice in the fork in the road. Pick what is halal, leave what is haram. And what is halal is what is written. What the amount is written for you, your choice is where do you want it from the halal means source or the haram source. So it is very important for us to understand that. So that is why we accept the qadr of Allah, all the aspects of it, and we are pleased with it, and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Rida bil qada. I know it's very difficult. It's not easy to understand this. It is not easy to... It's easy to understand. It's not easy to accept it, especially because a lot of... especially when, not a lot, but especially when... some of this hurts, right? So Rida bil Qada is good when it is all hunky-dory, everything I want is happening to me, but if something is happening which I don't like, then is the issue. Second issue also is this belief in Qadr is such a huge asset, and frees us from all forms of stress, right? Because it puts things in perspective, in the perspective of the reality. Now, what is the reality? The reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for us what He, Jalla Jalaluhu, decreed for us, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for us what He has, what He wishes for us. And if you understand this, that what Allah has written for me, I will get no matter what. It takes away all of my stress. Now, all that I need to do is to choose the right option. Allah has decreed for me how much wealth I will have in this life. What I need to check to choose is, what is the source of that wealth? Do I want this wealth from a halal source or a haram source? Allah has written for me the duration of my life, how many days I will live. What I have to choose is, how will I live those days? In obedience to Him or in disobedience to Him? Jalla Jalaluhu. Right? The easiest way to understand this is, just look at the questions on the Day of Judgment. What will we be questioned for or questioned about? Those are the things which show us where we have choice. We will be questioned about, Allah will ask, the question we will be asked is, what did you do with the life that I gave you, with the time that I gave you? Right? So what does it tell me? Does it tell me that I have the choice to prolong my life or to shorten my life? No. Suicide is haram. And so is the belief that by some treatment, my life is going to get prolonged. No. Question is, how did you live that life? How did you live that life? That is the question I need to keep in mind. That is the choice I have. How to live my life, not how long to live. Second question that I will be asked is, how did you live or use your youth? So, that is the thing to keep in mind. I have strength and power and so on and energy and whatnot. How do I choose to spend it? Third question, what did you do with the knowledge that was given to you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed how much knowledge I will have. I make the effort to try to gain more and more knowledge, but at the end of the day, what Allah decreed for me, Allah decreed for me. My choice is, what will I do with that knowledge? Will I keep it to myself? Will I use this knowledge to devise things which are harmful and evil? Or will I use this knowledge to help myself and to help others and to spread goodness around me? Will I share this knowledge? Will I teach? Will I help people who need that knowledge? And the fourth question is, how did you earn your wealth and where did you spend it? Allah will not ask how much wealth. Did you become a billionaire? No. Whatever it was, whether you were a daily wage earner and you were spending, you were earning, a dollar a day, or whether you are Elon Musk and you are earning $1 billion a day, it makes no difference. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asking about that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask, where did you earn it from and where did you spend it? So if I am earning a lot of money from haram sources, from buying and selling haram, from interest-based dealings, from all of those things, then I will have to answer for that. Allah is not asking me, why did you not make so much money? Allah is saying, what was the source? Where did you earn it from? And where did you spend it? This money which I earned, did I spend this money in good things to help people and so on, or did I spend it in doing evil? And this is a very, very important thing for us to remember. To understand this, let me give you a quick example. And that is, say for example, imagine a warehouse, right? A huge, massive warehouse. And this warehouse has a glass front. So you can see whatever is in this warehouse. Now this warehouse has every single thing that you are going to have in this life. So when you look through the glass window of this warehouse, the glass front, you are going to see all your money, all your family, all your children, your spouse. You're going to see all the knowledge that you are going to gain. You're going to see your health and happiness and every single conceivable thing that comes in your life. Say, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made visible for you your entire qadr, all your destiny is in this warehouse. Now, this warehouse has two doors on either side. And the doors have photovoltaic cells which have retina scanners, right? Not photovoltaic cells, but it has retina scanners. So now when you stand in front of the door, the door looks at your eye, and this is unique to you. Nobody else can come and stand in front of the door, nothing will happen. But when the scanner recognizes your retina, when it recognizes your retina print, then the door opens for you. And this door opens only for you, right? So now imagine that you are standing in front of the door. These are two doors on either side of this glass-fronted warehouse. One door has a big sign on it which says haram. The other door has a big sign on it which says halal. Both doors have the scanners. Both of them will open if you stand in front of them. So imagine that you are standing in front of this door called haram and the door has opened for you because you are standing there. Just as you are about to enter the door and take whatever is in that warehouse because it belongs to you, it is yours, your friend calls and says, hold on a second. So you say, what? He says, listen, come around to this door which is marked halal and enter from this side. It is the same warehouse. It is the same things. Nothing has changed. Just don't enter from this side, which is the side which is marked haram. So you say to yourself, okay, this makes sense, why not? And you turn around. Now, as you turn around, the door shuts because you are not visible anymore. Now you panic. And you say to your friend, no, hold on. This doesn't work. This door shut. And that door is already shut. Because you are standing here, that will open just like this will open. But that to you, when you are standing on this side, is a matter of faith. You believe it will happen. Your friend says, look, don't panic. It's the same technology, the same thing. Just come around here, stand in front of the door, it will open for you. You say, no. I am not going to do that. You say to your friend, no, you open that door first. You open the door first and then I will come. Your friend will say, I can't help you because that door will not open for anyone other than you. That cell, the camera there recognizes only your retina. It cannot be opened by anyone other than you. What is in this warehouse is yours. Only yours. So have faith in what I am saying. Just come around, stand here, it will open, you will have exactly the same things, nothing will change. But don't enter through this door. Now this is the nature of our life. Who is this friend who is telling you that? That is Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is telling you based on the revelation that he received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't enter through this door, come around. Enter through this door. The question is, do we believe Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not? It is as simple as that. Right? There's no need to agonize over all this. What has been written for us has been written for us. What has not been written for us has not been written for us. No one can give us what has not been written for us. And no one can take away what has been written for us. So, this is I've tried to make it as simple as possible. This is what our qadr is. I want you to think and reflect on this. And then look at what you are doing in your lives. Let us all look, I remind myself and you, let us look at what we are doing in our lives. And change our lives before it is too late. We believe in the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we don't ask too many questions. We don't say why and how and so on, because nobody can answer those questions. We do not ask why. People sometimes say, why me? Why did this happen to me? No. Nobody can answer that question. And if somebody asks that question, we don't try to make explanations for those decisions. Only Allah knows why. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reasons why He does something. Many times, something happens which appears to be negative, but behind that is a huge amount of positivity. There are any number of examples of that. We have examples of that in Suratul Yusuf, about the whole life of Yusuf alayhi salam. We have examples of that in Suratul Kahf, the conversation between and the experience of Musa and Khidr alayhi salam, and so on. It is for us to understand this, and it is for us to believe in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu has told us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, and to believe in that, we have to understand this. Now, final point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned before, Allah knows, but Allah does not compel. At the fork, you are on your own, but not helpless. You are on your own with the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, which is His kitab, which is Al-Quran Al-Kareem, and the beautiful guidance of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't ask too many questions because the wahi has stopped, the revelation has stopped. The only person who we could have asked and who could have answered is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is not with us anymore. He does not answer questions anymore, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not answer questions. So in this situation, we don't ask why and so on and so forth. We accept it. Alhamdulillah. This whole life is an instant. The happiness is an instant. The sadness is an instant. The wealth is an instant. The poverty is an instant. The health is an instant. Sickness is an instant. Success is an instant. Failure is an instant. The sunshine is an instant. Darkness is an instant. Shade is an instant. Everything is an instant. One day it will end. And the life to come is forever. That does not end. Happiness is permanent, sadness is permanent, success is permanent, failure is permanent, relief is permanent, pleasure is permanent, pain is permanent. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that permanent success. And for that Allah said, فَمَنْ زُحْزِيَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. Allah said, the one who has been freed from the hellfire and entered into Jannah, only this person is successful. I remind myself and you, the belief in Qadr is the hellfire, the Jannah is Jannah. These have been written. We don't write that. We don't change the composition of either. But Allah gave us the choice whether we want to choose hellfire or we want to choose Jannah. The one who chose Islam, the one who chose to follow Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who chose to follow the Quran without altering, without trying to play games with it, inshallah will be in Jannah. The one who does the opposite, which tries to mold the deen and to cut and chop and change for his own will and wish, none of that can be done, but he will try to do that. That person has chosen Jahannam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to keep us among those who choose Jannah and to save us from being among those who choose Jahannam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika wa rahmatika.